Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Bathing suit anxiety takes on a whole new dimension for Muslim women. So do skinny jeans and other body-conscious fashion trends. A spate of blogs and podcasts aims at this population have grown along with the fashion blog trend. Blogs like Hijab Trends, Style Covered, and Slice of Lemon feature tips and creative approaches to dressing with style as well as modesty. Miriam Sobe is a Chicago-based journalist. She's also a public radio colleague from WBEZ in Chicago, and she created Hijab Trends in 2007. It's a blog and a podcast. The blog averages about 2 million page views a month. And Miriam, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what were you after when you launched Hijab Trends? Are you a fashion person?
I like to think of myself as one. I started it mostly because at that time there wasn't an outlet for modern Muslim women like myself. And I faced a lot of sort of issues trying to break into the media world in terms of television and stuff. And I thought, well, I'm trained in a lot of these things. I might as well make my own outlet for people like myself.
Here's pretty much what I've heard about Muslim women's fashion. Women in Saudi Arabia and Dubai buy really high-end designer clothing to wear underneath their abayas. I mean, it's a pretty narrow view. We don't see a lot of examples. What gets lost in such a narrow view?
I think that people sort of have stereotypes, I guess, obviously, of Muslim women. So they look to these Gulf countries where people are somewhat wealthy, so maybe they do buy high-end designer fashion and hide it under their abayas. But there are those like myself that are born and raised in the West, and we like regular fashion just as much as anyone else, and we shop at places that aren't so high-end, and we're trying to find ways to use our own interpretations to share that fashion with others.
Here's one of those interpretations. One of the rising stars of the Muslim women's fashion bloggers, Dina Tokyo. Now, she's talking about her alternative to the horrific, as she calls it, burkini or bathing costume, you know, bikini.
So if anybody wants to comment saying, oh, God, but you can't wear leggings because it's haram and you're just still showing the shape of your body, not really because, like, proper flesh, tanned lovely stomach, cleavage out, beach hair, is a lot sexier than this. I think we would all agree. Okay?
Now, she's basically wearing a wetsuit and a turtleneck with a kind of vest that she zips over it. I mean, but you hear from her a little sense of getting away with as much as possible, letting herself feel good without being judged. Is that the common thread?
I think so. And I think what we're seeing now with this phenomenon, something that I've kind of been noticing is that now that we're all connected through the internet, we can express ourselves. We can find people that agree with us and our viewpoint and share that globally rather than someone trying to, let's say, do some new fashion in their small community and face backlash, let's say. Now they have a whole support network that you know, they can all kind of work together towards.
Mm-hmm. And it brings up these portrayals, as you mentioned, we often get of Muslim women, you know, sort of shrouded in black head-to-toe robes. There's this idea that there's something backward or sort of oppressed about this experience, that you must need to be rescued. Are we getting beyond that?
I think so. What I am really impressed with seeing is this younger generation that's cropping up, and they're not taking no for an answer, and they're just doing whatever they want, basically, and letting people know, you know, we're doing this because we choose to do it. When I grew up, there weren't very many women that covered at all, and so it is interesting to see the difference now. A lot more people speaking up about it, a lot more people actually choosing to do it themselves, whether it's because of the fashion forward ways of it now, it's more enticing. I don't know.
Well, I think a lot of women look to their own mothers, their own families for how they dress as part of their sort of fashion cue, or often an example of how you don't want to dress. What was your experience growing up?
Well, I actually wore it really early. I was about 8 years old when my parents kind of were like, oh, why don't you wear a scarf? And it kind of stuck on me. But I always had this thing inside of me that just felt like this is so boring and drab. And why can't we make it nicer if we just adhere to whatever the requirements are. It doesn't make sense to me like it has to be one certain way. And every now and then we would meet people from other parts of the country or overseas, and they would have a sort of more fashionable take on it. And I would think, wow, so you can do that. And so I guess I was kind of the rebel. I just did what I felt like I wanted to do once I hit my teens. I was like, you know what? I'm following the requirements. Nobody can say anything.
Well, here's a woman who takes that pretty much to a whole new level, an extremely popular blogger. Her name is Yasmin Khanar. She calls herself Yaz the Spaz. Now, this is from her how-to for the Pashmina wrap. Now, more than 770,000 views on YouTube.
So you have to see where everything lands. But I want to take this piece and bring it so that it covers my neck. You know, we got to play around a little. See where.
Now, Yaz also makes videos of tying the hijab as a double-sided flower, a side ruffle. She does makeup lessons, wearing contact lessons. I wonder, any politics ever make their way into this? I mean, I'm thinking of what happened when France barred the niqab from schools and the hijab, for example.
I mean, I haven't seen anything really political. I think, if anything, it's people that have sort of religious viewpoints, you know, whether they think it's permissible or not to wear certain styles or, you know, be putting yourself out there and getting attention for it. As far as politics, no, I mean, occasionally, you know, people might speak up about, there was this whole thing, this group called Femin that was trying to protest Muslim women or supposedly for Muslim women by taking their clothes off. But that's about it, really.
Interesting. So that's a sort of an organization that thinks you should behave like this.
I think from what I've gathered about Femin, I haven't followed it that closely, but they feel like they're helping Muslim women who are oppressed by staging naked protests around the world.
There is something, however, that happens, Miriam. You know, when you see a woman shrouded pretty much head to toe at the airport next to a woman, for example, in a skimpy dress or Hasidic Jew or Mennonites, you know, in their bonnets and pinafores, and you see that and you assume you know something about their lives. What do you think is the most misunderstood by that impression?
I think that the biggest misunderstanding is that we don't have a voice and we're doing this because men are forcing us to somehow. Most of the women that I've encountered that decide to cover, it's because they truly believe that that's what they want to do. Whether their logic makes sense or not, it's their personal choice. I mean, of course, every now and then somebody might be forced to do something against their will. But as far as the people that I've known in my life, you know, people just seem to think we don't have a voice. And then even when we do speak up for ourselves and express ourselves and say how we're not oppressed, we're told that we're brainwashed. And so it's frustrating because it's like a never-ending trying to prove ourselves.
What about turning it around the other way? What do you think the biggest assumptions are made, you know, when somebody would see someone standing there in a skimpy dress or whatever, you know, sort of showing her body in a very sexual way?
I think the assumption would be most likely that, yeah, she doesn't care. She's a loose woman. She probably sleeps around, you know, those type of things. And, you know, unfortunately, that's the stereotypes that go that way. But I personally don't think those things.
Well, you have two daughters. How do they want to dress?
They want to be fashionable. My 6-year-old is all about fashion, which is kind of funny. I say she's more fashionable than me. They sometimes, like, they'll see me and they'll want to put a scarf on when they go out of the house. They're like, we want to be like you. And sometimes I find myself trying not to let them do that because I want them to have a childhood and I don't want them to be thinking so much about, I don't know, other types of dress or religion or things like that.
Miriam Sobe, Chicago-based journalist. She's also a colleague at WBEZ Public Radio in Chicago. She created the blog and the podcast Hijab Trends. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Now you can find a link to see the blog and more videos similar to those that we mentioned. That's all at wordofmouthradio.org. You can also find links and follow us or post your reactions to any of the stories that we air on Facebook and on Twitter.